Welcome in, listeners, to the Shoujo podcast. As always, hosted by myself, Sarah, and my friend Joe, where we recap and discuss different shoujo series. Our current show is My Happy Marriage. We're trucking along in that. And then we'll be covering another one before you know it. So hopefully you are not starting here. You're here because you want to be. Listen to My Happy Marriage stuff. But first, let's catch up. What's going down in Joe Town?
I'm back from the slopes. I went skiing again last weekend.
Everything. Tell us everything. Did you like my reel? Was that relevant at all? Or?
No, I'm actually, skiing is actually okay for me. It's kind of intuitive to me because I guess I did enough roller skating. Because I had a friend that was really into roller skating, so I'd go sometimes. And the movement is similar enough to where I can kind of get it. So I don't know, something about swiveling your hips and moving, lifting your leg up and kind of tilting it a little bit definitely helped. And that's a lot of what skiing is. So I'm taking to it pretty well.
Joe's an expert. Joe's going to be hitting double black diamonds before you know it.
Not true. I've only been twice, but the falls I haven't been too bad. And I'm not afraid of going fast. That's good.
Joe's not afraid. Joe's a speed demon.
I know how to bail. That's good.
Bail.
I know how to sprint? be I know how to fall in a way that isn't going to kill me. If it's going bad.
Okay. Oh man.
So. Excellent. Pretty successful so far. Yeah.
Nice. No Joe-shaped holes left behind.
Nope.
I'm not. Crashed into the side of a mountain or something.
That's not it. I'm really embracing the winter by doing an outdoor activity, something I never do in the winter.
I love it.
So that's pretty good. But yeah.
Nice.
I feel like that's just the biggest thing that's happened. I made hot chocolate and I started making hot chocolate with milk because my girlfriend is you should make it with milk. But no matter how much I heat up milk, it won't stay hot ever. It's either boiling to the point where I'm this is a problem and I have to let it sit there, or it's gotten hot. But then in the process of me adding the powder, it has gotten cold again. So this isn't very hot, but it is. It's still chocolate. So here we go.
You gotta get one of those warmer plate things for it.
Oh yeah, fancy. Mm-hmm. I'm not that fancy, but I did make that.
Know, you're a pretty fancy guy. I think you could.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Any big events for you, or I could just talk about whatever bullshit I'm watching. What's going on with you?
What's going on with me? I went to IkiCon.
Yeah.
Again, cosplayed.
Tell me about it.
The most low key cosplay I've done, because I went with someone who's cosplaying for the first time. So they went as one of the players from Haikyuu, and so I went as one of the managers, the female managers that doesn't really serve much purpose, but I'm there. And I was and they made the comparison that felt like in the scene of Avengers where it's the Hulk is getting a bunch of kids are coming up to him and then he's want to meet Ant-Man, and they're like, Ant-Man's like, no, they don't want to talk to me. I was Ant-Man. I was nobody wants to, nobody knows who I am. Nobody takes my photo. I'm just because I just look like I'm wearing black athletic wear basically in the cosplay I was in. But it was comfy at least. And I got some pretty sweet posters. And I got these really cool, kind of 3D printed cat ears that are cute.
Nice.
And so it was pretty sweet. Just one day this time. So we didn't go to Yokai Night. So I didn't see any scandalous things this time around.
Was that at the other? I don't even remember.
We went because it was a room that's adults only stuff. Somehow I had bought out of all that. I'd gotten a Tokyo Mew Mew acrylic stand. that part of it, but yeah, no. But no, it's always interesting to watch because it's hosted or it's at this place that's like a hotel and resort that has a convention center attached to it. So it's interesting to watch like the people who don't realize that's happening when they go to stay. And they're like, why are all these weirdos walking around dressed up?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then it was cute to see because right this year or there's a lot of K-pop Demon Hunters cosplays and like
sure.
seeing the kids that were there with their families not for this. Be excited to see girls dressed up as cape. I was like,
oh that's really funny. Yeah. That's really cute. Yeah, because there is like a kid's part of that. So that makes mm-hmm. sense that there would just be random families there.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, so it was good. It was good. Pretty chill.
Did they ever announce any more K-pop Demon Hunter stuff? I mean, surely they're gonna make it, but like a TV
they've been
show
winning
or something.
All these awards and stuff. Oh, I'm assuming they're just gonna do another movie.
Another movie?
Like I haven't heard of any like spin-offs of any kind. I'm assuming
because
another price. We gotta find out what happened to Jinu, our hottie.
I keep seeing like, oh, K-pop Demon Hunters 2, but they're just AI videos that some asshole made.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what the hell is this? 100%
seeing those
so
as well.
So I don't, did they actually announce anything? I don't know.
No, I don't think they've officially announced anything. Not that
okay.
I've seen. But there's a lot of spammy crap out there for sure. No, but hopefully that means that there will be more like original animated works in the works.
It feels like it should just pivot to a TV show.
You think so?
It feels so made for that. Because kids are into it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a kid's thing. This is why I'm thinking, just make it, you know, they could do a Jimmy Neutron where it starts off as a movie, then they make it a show.
That's true. Do you know if Jimmy Neutron was intended to have a show follow it, or it just was the movie successful and they made a show? Because that is a good idea. But I feel like I never see that format anymore. Not that I am, like, super saying... with everything coming out for children these days, but
all I know is Bluey.
Is there a Bluey movie?
There is a Bluey movie, but that's all
there's
I know about kids
game.
Media. It's a TV show first. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Okay. Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, the movie television series. Now it looks like it was made later. Like I don't think it was. I think it was
okay, so
from the success of it, because it came out, the movie came out in 2001.
Well,
you
got some
TV show came out.
Like Cindy or whatever. She got a little bit because she had like pigtails and then they switched her to just a ponytail in the show.
Yeah, like 2 years later.
Okay.
Three seasons of that. Wow. But yeah.
Oh, I think
I would be surprised if they made a K-pop
but I think
show. Sorry,
the voice actor for Sheen and Jimmy Neutron passed recently.
Oh.
Speaking of.
That's sad.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. I did cry from Survivor season 39.
Oh my god.
Did I talk about this already last time? Did I talk about it? I can't remember.
You talked about how you were getting close to the end.
Yeah, okay. No, I didn't talk about crying and being mad
you did
at
not
that
cry.
Season.
I don't know. I've only seen like two seasons ever.
A controversy and it just pissed me off because this happened like in 2019 or 2020. So it like pissed me off how badly handled it was. Even not that long ago. It was just, I have a strong sense of justice. And so anytime I see things that are like very apparent, but also it's like maybe harder to handle in the moment when you're filming versus like, you know, a show, because this is a show that's all pre-recorded. You know, something bad happens on Love Island, you're hearing about it as it's happening and it's actively affecting viewers, like so viewers can have more of a say if they like people have been booted off Love Island for like having said something off the show that is kind of controversial, because then maybe people are going to be like, I'm not going to watch it if you don't boot it, because they have control over it. But Survivor's all pre-recorded and then they release. But even a show like MTV's The Challenge has had like a problematic person post like the show airing. And then they made the choice to like just cut all of her footage, basically, where they could from the rest of the season after. So it's like, shame on you, CBS, for handling this thing poorly. Anyways, I was just, yeah, I was like feeling emotional last week, I guess. I am almost, or I am nearing, I'm in act 3 of 3, I think, for Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
Okay.
And my mind, I hit like a big plot point because for like 20 minutes of straight cutscene, I was like, what's happening? I don't understand. I'm not smart enough to, what is happening? Like, so that's getting exciting. And yeah, that's cool. That's how about you?
That's what you've been watching. Started watching, so I finished the Big O. This is part of my watching through of all of Gundam. I'm still in the middle of Turn A Gundam, watching that. Pretty much just inching my way along that. But I've also started watching Planets. It's called Planets. Like Planets with an ES. And it's a, I'd never heard of this, but it is a, like, it's from 2003 to 2004. It's about, like, a bunch of corporations go into space. So it takes place in space. And it's a crew of people whose job it is to pick up debris and like junk in space to like clear the lanes and things like that. And it's kind of just like a workplace comedy thing that takes place in space. I'm 4 episodes in. It's pretty fun so far. Like, I like the idea of, you know, this is just like a, you know, a show about like characters or something, like anything big. But also it's like a, it's kind of like a hard sci-fi thing in terms of like, they get into these cool spacesuits that have this really like awesome like dual layered helmet thing where they can like pull up the visor and see their face, or they can lay it down and it has like all of this weird UI stuff going on. Their ship looks weird. It has a bunch of little things in it.
This is so, yeah, something that would come out today. So it's interesting that it came out then. I mean, that's why I haven't heard of it before.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, it came out. I'm watching it. I'm having a good time. It's like pretty light compared to all the other stuff I'm watching. But, you know, nice. It's good so far. We'll see where it goes.
Nice, nice.
But it's just like a fun, I don't know. It's like I'm watching an anime, because I feel like all the anime I've been watching is like popular shit and Gundam. So it's basically all shonen, or it's like all kind of like for kids, well, like younger. I mean, we're watching My Happy Marriage, right? Which is, it's really not that young, I feel like. I don't know.
No,
maybe. But like Planets is very much like not. It's very much just like, it's like a seinen, they're a seinen kind of thing. So it's very much just like a work comedy thing. So it's like, oh, like a thing that's kind of for adults or whatever. Like, they had an episode about everybody, but like a bunch of aggressive life insurance salesmen show up and harass everybody.
Okay, nice. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. I've not watched an anime like that in quite some time. I was like, there's a few seinen. How do you say it? What's the right way to say it?
Seinen.
Okay. I don't watch very many of those, I feel like. And like hardly at all. But there's got to be some good ones. So just, I watch a lot of the female counterpart, Jose, but it's all workplace, isn't it? Ugh. Let's get some kind like mature, of. But not in workplace. Why do only kids get to do the fantastical things? You know,
I feel like the mature adult
version of those.
I feel like the adult genre categories, like Seinen and Jose, are weird because, like, it's a lot of like adult workplace stuff for adults, but also it's just like whatever kind of doesn't fit into any other category goes in there. So it can really be anything. Like, I think Witch Hat Atelier Hair is a seinen or something.
Yeah, or it's like, it seems whimsical enough that it wouldn't have been, I'm not as familiar with that property, but like, it doesn't seem like it would be.
I mean, I think this is where like, it has a lot more, when it comes to the adult stuff, I think it has a lot more to do with publisher. Like, who's publishing what stuff and who has connections in the industry to publish what stuff, as opposed to like what the actual content is. Because like, you know, Shonen has like Shonen Jump and stuff like that. And it's like very structured, and there's kind of a way to get into it and like a way to do certain tropes and things like that. And same with shoujo, but I feel like that's just less true in other stuff. Yeah,
just base the whole premise of our show on a antiquated
we're mostly watching old stuff, or we're kind of alternating watching old stuff and new stuff, so we're seeing how antiquated it is and how much we live in trope land.
I kind of want to add, there's like, or maybe I'm Here's Shallow Sarah. I on the shoujo subreddit, I saw a screenshot of a hot guy from some old shoujo called Please Save My Earth or something. And I'm like, oh, that kind of, oh, there's a hot guy. I'll watch it, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know enough about this industry to really say things about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, weird. Interesting stuff. But yeah, anyway, Planets, pretty fun. I'll probably check in more as I watch it more.
As we switch gears to talking about My Happy Marriage, I will say we had a comment on YouTube saying that a lot of things were better explained in the, well, obviously, but in the light novels, like things about Kyoka's dad not knowing that she was an Asuba. And so, like, much more context than what we get here.
Mm.
But it's like,
this is another casualty of only 12 episode seasons.
Yes. So this is just not benefiting from the format. I don't think, but this is just a peculiar show, honestly. It looks, well, yes. Yes. Or if you're nitpicky like me, I haven't. I did see the My Happy Marriage light novel at some of the vendors at IkiCon. So I wonder. I mean, because I feel like I like the art style and that's what I'm coming to anime for. I don't know if it's specifically the storytelling style that I've been drawn to, but I'm wondering if, like, if I read one, if it gives me a different reading experience than just a normal novel would. Should probably give it a try at some point. Maybe if I find one at Half Price Books, I'll get a read.
You're not going to check one out from your local library?
Oh, should I?
They got to have it, right? They have everything at the library.
I haven't been to the library since I was 12. I did enjoy having a library membership, though. It was fun.
Huh.
I liked it. I was reading Heartland and like American Girl or something. It was good.
Wow. You could go back to that.
I could.
I would search my library, but I have to log in and I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe that's a thing we could do. We could read light novels. I don't know if I want to do that because I'm already in two book clubs.
You've got enough.
I'm backlogged in reading as it is.
On.
Yeah. Ugh, reading takes so long, and like this new book we're reading for my second book club,
like, it doesn't
has the weirdest cadence. Like something about reading it just like kind of melts my mind a little bit because it's very British.
Oh, okay, but
I'll power through. You know, you just got to power through. That's the difference, is that when you're watching something, it just happens, so you can just kind of like have to sit there. But when you're reading, you have to actually do it, so you have to power through.
Yeah,
so I just need to power through. Oh.
You can do it, Joe.
I can do it. I can do it. I can keep up with all of my activities and not give up any of them. New Year's resolution.
Now having a new relationship too. Let's just
New Year's resolution. It? Speaking of New Year's, guess what the title of episode 7 is? It's a New Year's commotion, which is not the same thing as a resolution. Well, they kind of they don't make resolutions in this. They just make wishes. That's not the same at all. Anyway, are we ready to go into it?
We are.
Okay, we open on Kyoka and Mio enjoying some alone time at New Year's Eve. They kiss, and then the scene ends.
We don't get to look. It's just we only see the shadow of the kiss.
Yep. Shadow of a kiss.
I guess at least something new. I guess a different way to show it to us.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Takehito meets with General Okaito to discuss about the recent events. They need to bury the fact that the emperor has disappeared, which I guess he's disappeared. Like, I guess they did actually kidnap the emperor.
Yeah, because we thought it was like an illusion thing, but I guess they actually did.
But they just didn't care. Like, I don't really understand. Like, they went to the estate where he's being held, and then they decided to go back to get Mio because I guess the emperor doesn't
Instead
actually
of saving
matter.
The emperor. Well, I guess he's just the old guy in the way, maybe.
I mean, he's not doing anything and nobody cares.
Obviously, he recovered from his injuries just fine.
Yeah. Anyway, they talk about how things are bad, I guess, and that as part of Takahito's premonition, somebody's going to need to be sacrificed. I wonder if it'll be Arata as we cut to him. It's the next day and Kyoka and Mio go to a temple to pray for the new year. There's like some festival stands and stuff where people sell things and it's like a pretty good time. You ever been to a temple? It's like that.
If I lived in Japan or grew up in Japan, that'd be like I just want to go to all of those. I'm a sucker for any kind of stall selling, any kind of little knickknack. I love looking at everything. I mean, that's why I like conventions, I guess, but.
Farmers markets.
What a fun little date. Like, go and do those things together. Yeah.
You going to any farmers markets?
I like that. I've gone to one or two. The problem is those are outdoors and I live in Texas.
They are outdoors. They're also usually in the morning.
Yeah.
Too early.
Because it's hot. I like them. I feel like we don't get enough time of the literally our two protagonists. I feel like they're never together alone, especially together alone doing something together. This is nice. Them walking and talking.
Yeah. No, it's good. So we get some more scene with them. Mio remembers their kiss from last night and gets embarrassed. She wonders if Kyoka is calm after kissing because he's super experienced because he's 28 and he's probably kissed lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 20?
I guess. I don't know. Do we get age on her?
I think at the very beginning, it's like she's of marrying age and
yeah, Kana was like 17
and she's like 20. No, I think they said her age at the time.
Okay.
And I think she's 20. I think that's right. 8-year gap. Then she thinks that she's indecent for thinking about kissing too much.
I thought that was funny. I did. Girl, I chuckled out loud.
Like, you got to read some smut or something. Come on.
For real.
They pray at the temple and hang out. Then they see some demonstration being put on by the gifted communion who just shows up and gives a public demonstration. They tell people about grotesqueries and they have somehow made one visible and it looks like a chicken with hands. They explain what's going on and one of them uses a fire blast to kill the chicken and are like, we have magical powers and we can give you magical powers so that the common person can protect themselves from these weird demons that exist. The crowd is perturbed as they watch this chicken with hands get incinerated.
Like a scam, like just off the bat. If I'm like, I've never seen one of these before and now you're introducing the problem and the solution all together from the same place. This seems like a scam.
Yeah. It's good cult work, okay? They're doing crowd work here.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Goto and crew show up to arrest these guys, and they drag them away, and Goto thanks Kyoka for tipping them off. Kyoka says that there's been a lot of these guys around lately and gives Mio a Shikigami to protect her, which is just like a folded, it's like an origami thing. I couldn't really tell what it was supposed to be.
Well, I don't know. There's like Shikigami where it's like, give us a cute little critter. Why isn't there a cute critter Shikigami?
That's true. There's the critter level is low.
Pet.
Yeah.
We need a mascot. It's a
we really don't have a mascot.
Any fantasy. Ugh.
Well, but it's a book. This is what I'm saying. It's adapted from a book. That's a book true. Doesn't need a mascot.
Okay. Well, let's add one in the anime. Let's take a little liberty and
I think books should start adding mascots.
Cute critter. I guess you can't appreciate their cuteness as much in a book as you can in anime.
I guess they should print them in the corner of over like the page number.
I mean, okay, you know what? Kadocha, for example. It's a manga, but the manga doesn't have a mascot. But for the anime adaptation, they added a mascot.
Oh.
That didn't exist in the manga because, yeah. You know, it suits the format of anime.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, we don't have that. She just gets this thing and then we never see it again. Later, Kyoka, Goto, and Okaito meet to discuss the gifted communion. They decide that they need to protect Takahito and Mio since they're the strongest gift users there. They talk about how... How even the press are talking about the gifted communion, which is weird because they're like an authoritarian government. How come the press is printing stuff? That shouldn't be possible. So they're like, somebody in the government has to be on board with these guys. So there has to be a traitor on the inside, they say. I felt very weird about watching these sequences.
Well, it's a.
Because the thing is,
we don't see depicted very much, I guess, or at least here.
The gifted communion kind of have a point. Where they're like, hey, there's these weird demons that can like attack you and do bad stuff and kill you. And there are people with magical powers that can fight them off. And the government just isn't telling you about that, which is objectively true.
Yep. Yeah.
So I don't know.
I guess the argument is that it's like, oh, chaos. Is the argument, the counterpoint. It'll be chaos.
The government will protect you, don't worry. That's the government's job, to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are dumb enough to believe that, right? Sure. Anyway, Mio has another dream about Sumi and Naoshi, and in it, they seem to be getting along with each other, and Naoshi says he's going to help Sumi improve the Asuba family's fortune, because this happens sometime before she gets married, but I'm not exactly sure what the time period is here.
Yeah, they look like adults at this point.
It seemed like around then, because he leaves after she gets engaged.
Yeah, which you would assume would be when she's fairly young, of marrying age.
She asks him to promise to do it without violence, but instead of answering, now she turns to look at Mio, which freaks her out. And she wakes up and is like, I'm not supposed to, those are supposed to be memories or something. I'm not supposed to, like, they can't interact with me.
Mm-hmm.
Later.
Like a horror movie.
Pretty weird. Later, she discusses it with Kyoka, but neither of them really know what to make of it. They're like, maybe Arata knows, but he hasn't been around lately. They drive to the Royal Palace.
Starting to talk to him. We have an open dialogue now.
Yeah. This is the most interaction, for sure. Good. These episodes are good.
Yes, they are.
They drive to the Royal Palace, and Mio will be staying here with Takahito so they can be protected easily together. We'll just put both of our valuable things in the same spot. Surely that won't backfire. Mio's like, should I really be staying at the Royal Palace? I'm just some random chick. But Kyoka's like, it's cool.
I really like this shift. Everything feels more lively, or there's more people, there's more happening.
Yes,
I like the location change.
Yes, the location change is good. I actually went to this Royal Palace place. I mean, you know, it wasn't in use. It looks like that, like gray stones everywhere, and it's enormous. And you go into buildings with just huge ass rooms.
Joe going to impressive places.
Anyway, they're like, hey, it's cool that you stay here, Mio. Also, Suzuki and Yuri are going to stay here, too. So it's like a big vacation. All the girls are here. They enter and we meet Takakura, but I felt the need to mention him.
His suit feels way more modern than everyone else's suit and ties.
Yes.
And it threw me off big time.
He's just a guy in a business suit.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. They tour around the grounds and run into Arata, who's also here. And we learn that he's being assigned to guard Mio while Kyoka has to guard Takahito, and that Mio needs to stay in the palace and not let anyone in. And this is when I realized that Mio is just constantly being held prisoner at different locations this season. It's here. It's the barracks. It's his parents' house.
Yeah, we are shifting. We are getting more variety and environment this season.
It's just kind of funny where it's constantly being like, all right, Mio, you can't leave. You're stuck here. And she's like, okay, time to clean. Although she doesn't clean here, which is nice.
It's all in a vast improvement from her childhood.
Yeah. Now she's a bird in many cages as opposed to just one. How fun.
Yeah.
Mio is shown to her room, which is enormous. And she's like, God damn, this is a big room. Later, Mio, Yurie, Suzuki, and Arata all eat dinner together. They have a good time, but Arata seems kind of distant. And Mio asks what's wrong. And Arata apologizes and says that he was just in work mode. So he'll loosen up. I go into work mode sometimes, so I understand this.
Mm-hmm.
Mio asks Arata about her dream earlier. And Arata says that not all of Mio's dream maiden powers have been awoken yet. So it could be related to that. She has some kind of like mental block or something that's like preventing her full powers to awaken, but she doesn't really know what that is. They're like it's got to be something like that, but she can't really pinpoint what that would be. You know, very real.
Yeah.
Later, Kyoka goes to visit Mio in her room. They catch up, and Mio tells her about the mental block, and Kyoka says that maybe it would help to talk more. Like maybe they can figure it out if she shares more about what she's thinking. That's sweet. They're getting scenes together.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, I feel like she was doing that earlier. So she is like volunteering information. I feel like this is one of my favorite set of episodes from the show we've covered so far, just because we're actually getting our protagonists together, doing things and talking to each other. This show separates them way too much.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the amount of separation I want, where it's like, Kyoka has to go and do his job, but he'll just, like, pop in at various times to, like, check in, and that's good.
Yeah.
Kyoka goes out to a tent where Goto is waiting for him. He's also Zoom-called Kariko through a vanity mirror that uses magic. This was wild.
I know. It's magic.
It's magic. They could just do this. They could just Zoom call each other through a mirror. Yes. I mean, I guess they had guys that could just be invisible. So
everything's on the table.
It's very interesting. And it just constantly disappoints me that Kyoka's big magical power is just lightning and making fireballs.
Yeah. He's not demonstrating all the cooler things, the tech they could be.
No. He should be like, it should be something weirder. I want his power to be weirder.
Yes.
They all talk about how even though Karako's father wasn't tortured, he was temporarily transferred to trick Karako into believing that he had been captured. And then somebody tried to hide the transfer order, meaning that there are multiple traitors in the government. And they all wonder who it was, as we get a quick cut to Arata before the credits.
He's not in the government, though.
He's not. Is he? It couldn't have been him. Well, he's so, like,
yeah,
he advises the Ministry of the Interior. So I guess he has access to government stuff, but like he isn't like an official.
Or shouldn't be.
It shouldn't
be. Yeah, the position to be able to do things.
Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, obviously Arata is going to be a fake traitor. We're signaling that so hard.
Yeah, for real.
Which is fun. He's also going to be sacrificed. So get fucked, Arata, I guess.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I like, okay, I think I like this this next episode even more.
Oh, yeah.
To get more.
We get good stuff in the next episode, which I guess we'll just talk about. Episode 8 is called An Evening Banquet in Distant Snow. We open on General Okaito and Kyoka talking about how despite the high security, there's still going to be a meeting amongst the government department heads. And they suspect that one of them might be a traitor, but only Takahito and Takakura will be present in the meeting to sniff them out.
If you have an assistant, make sure their name is similar to your name so that people get confused.
We cut to the meeting and we meet a bunch of old guys who are the ministers of various departments like education and communications. Also, the army and the navy are here, and like in every country ever, they all hate each other.
We're just getting the like play-by-play from the assistant guy, and I'm like, you're here solely for this reason.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's like,
rundown. Yeah,
there's the minister of education. Yes, he doesn't like us.
Yeah.
Here's the minister of this guy. He's on our team, I guess. And then the army and the navy guys just get mad at each other. They all talk about how the emperor got abducted, but nobody seems to give a shit about this at all. And they just use it to jab at each other instead. It's so funny how they don't care.
Maybe just sucked overall, like not just when he got all hung up on the dreamy and stuff, but maybe it's just bad.
Nobody gives a shit about the emperor. They're like, he got abducted, and they're like, well, that's your fault. And they're like, well, that's your fault. And it's like, nobody cares.
No game plan to reacquire him.
No.
Save him.
I think we're learning that the emperor is fundamentally unimportant.
So it's like a waste to go after him to begin with, then. He's sweet, just saying.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it is funny to be like, I'm gonna steal this guy that nobody cares about, but it's gonna be a problem for all of them. Like, they can't just ignore it. They all talk about the get to communion, and the minister of education says that they should rally behind Takahito, and Takahito says they're gonna have to ready their defenses and just wait around for a while. So I guess they are just gonna do nothing.
That's a good plan.
Good plan. Turns out the emperor doesn't matter. We don't give a shit. He's gone. Elsewhere, Mio is invited to a ladies' night with Hazuki, Yurie, and Takahito. And Takahito says they can call her Miss Takako tonight. So we're doing some stuff with gender.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I assume this is just like, I want to hang out, but it's ladies' night. So I'm just going to assume that I'm a lady today. But but it's a character that like wears makeup and stuff, so I'm not sure how to interpret this.
I believe this is our gender fluid queen, I think is what's going on. And we're moving that dial to feminine tonight because it's ladies' night.
Yeah, I loved it. Again, watching the dub just because it was easier to find online, and like just like ladies' night is like a brand new concept, was fun to watch.
Yeah,
Mio be introduced to.
They also Zoom call Karako, who's already a few drinks ahead of them. I love that Karako just gets to be here because we could just bring her in.
I know, it's like she doesn't even matter the whole stuff we went with him.
Yeah,
and like, oh, I had to earn your friendship. Nope, we're in.
Yep. Nope, she's cool. Everybody thinks she's cool. She's hanging out with the emperor's son, who I guess is the emperor now, temporarily, whatever.
Yeah, not a lot of formality around who can hang out with that individual, huh?
Nope.
Just everyone.
You can just do whatever, you know?
Freaking maid is here, yeah.
They all hang out and drink, except Mio, who gets juice.
I hate this. Stop. Why can't she drink? Let her drink a little.
Yeah. Let Mio get drunk. God. What are we doing?
I know. It's going to be so cute because she's going to, oh, I'm like waiting. It has to be a plot point at some point that she finally gets her hands on some booze and then she's all cute. And then Kyoka's like, this is dangerous. It was right to keep you because I can't have anyone else see you be this cute.
What if she starts swearing a bunch? What if she's like, she starts being like, she starts acting like a sailor?
I just want to see hungover Mio recalling what happened the night before and being mortified and then having to live with that. I want to see that.
What if her, like, when she's drunk, her powers go crazy and makes everybody hallucinate?
Oh.
That would be an awesome episode.
That would be cool.
Yeah. They hang out OVA. And do stuff like, what are they like, play a board game?
Yeah, just late ladies' night.
A weird board game? Is that what you do at ladies' night?
No. Ladies' night is, like, flocking to public place. I feel like lady. Well, I don't know. I don't go to ladies' night.
Women that are, like, love deemed walking.
Ladies' night. Like going places, I would say.
Okay.
But they're in lockdown.
They are in lockdown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Takako falls asleep and Yurie turns in for the night, leaving just Mio, Kariko, and Suzuki. Suzuki takes the opportunity to ask Kariko what she thinks of Godo. Hey.
Oh, Godo. Oh.
Kariko denies any feelings about him, but Suzuki tries to pair them up. She's like, hey, you were going to visit him in the hospital until you didn't. He's kind of hot sometimes when he isn't screwing everything up and getting wrecked.
Yeah.
He's the only guy who has any jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Kariko says that she isn't thinking about romance right now because it's too distracting. And also, it's kind of scary. And Mio's like, yeah, it is kind of scary. I'm always worried about getting too attached or doing the wrong thing. And Suzuki is like, all right. And then she shares her own personal experience, seeing as she is the most experienced in being in relationships. She's divorced. She states that when she was married, she and Okaito were in love, but being married got them caught up in things that weren't really about their feelings with each other, and they got freaked out, and maybe that wasn't great. It's kind of scary to be in a relationship, but you just need to, like, forge ahead and not think about how it's gonna turn out, basically.
This just whole thing made me be like, oh, I want them to get back together.
Yeah.
They haven't even shown us any, like, flashbacks to them being happy together, but I'm like, oh, she's so like fond of the time they had together. They no mention of the kid.
Why isn't there
the
kid here?
Never.
We see Okaito and we see her. Why? Where's the kid?
Where's the child? What's wrong? Come on, give us some cute tiny thing, even if it's just a child.
Yeah,
as our mascot.
He should
give
be hanging
some
out.
Small little creature. Yeah.
What's he doing?
What is happening?
What can he possibly be doing with his time?
Terrible parents.
Unbelievable. If I didn't watch that, if you didn't watch that OVA, you'd have no idea she had a kid. They have not mentioned this kid at all.
Literally, maybe he only exists in the OVA. Maybe he's not canon.
My not canon child? Oh, no. Kariko gets too drunk and falls asleep. Time passes and Hizuki also falls asleep while Takako wakes up. They talk with Mio about how they both have future sight. And while it's a very powerful ability, it's also isolating. Because if you don't face it alone, you can't do your job. Nobody can help you in the dream world. You have to go help them. Then they ask Mio if she likes snow, and Mio says yes. I'm referring to Takahito as they, by the way. Takako says that they can no longer like the snow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Says that they no longer like the snow and repeats an ominous premonition that uses snow as a metaphor. Basically, something bad's going to happen when it snows.
Bom, bom, bom.
Later, Mio is very concerned about the weather and hopes it doesn't snow. I don't know if this was, like, literal Mio, but maybe it was.
Like, she's, like, saying bye-bye to Kyoka and, like, I sure hope it doesn't snow.
It's funny because she says bye to him and then she, like, leans out the door and looks up at the sky and is like, all right, looks good. Clear skies. Late one evening, Mio and Arata take a walk. They discuss Mio's powers and what might be preventing her, like, mental block. Arata asks if there's something that she doesn't feel like she can tell Kyoka. He's like, oh, if you can't tell him something, you can tell me that stuff. I'm like a different person. So that's cool. They're interrupted by the Minister of Education showing up. Arata asks him why he's here, and he pretends like he got lost, and then he offers to hire them to change some people's mind like it's Inception. He gives them the proposition from Inception. Arata refuses, and some guards show up to escort the minister off the palace grounds. He throws a fit, but eventually leaves, and his driver quietly thanks Arata for his service because he's clearly in the gifted communion, and then they drive off. Mm. Mio's like, well, that's not good. It sounds like she heard him say that, but I can't tell if she did, or if she was supposed to.
Yeah, because normally you'd like, it would be like a, you just see them whisper and then there's like a flashback to reveal what they said to imply that only they heard it. But like, this is, I feel like the first time I've seen it where it's like whisper, whisper, and we as the audience and possibly Mio both hear it. So it's hard to interpret if it's, she heard it or not.
Yeah, I need to, they need to frame this better because it's like, we hear the whisper and then we cut to Mio looking concerned, but she's like facing them. If it would happen when they had like turned away or like she turned to look back at him looking concerned, I'd be like, oh, she didn't see that. But now I'm just like, did she just watch, like witness that happen? I don't know.
She also always looks concerned.
She does also always look concerned. That's true. Mm. Later, Kyoka and Mio talk about that situation, how weird it was. Then they go to the room and see that it's been made up so that there's a 1-2 person futon instead of whatever it was before.
It's just like when they were at his parents' place.
Yes.
Take two.
Yes, but this time Kyoka's like, all right, Takahito definitely did this on purpose to like mess with me because it wasn't like this the other day. Kyoka offers to sleep on the mat, but Mio won't allow it. And then they bicker about who's going to sleep on the floor before deciding that they're both going to sleep on the futon like adults. Come on. They get in the futon, but face away from each other. Kyoka asks if anything's been bothering Mio, and Mio asks if Kyoka ever thinks his job is hard, and he says, not really. A very funny exchange. He's like, some tasks are hard, but overall, it's not too difficult.
Even though you're like, I didn't even want this job to begin with. I was forced basically into this job, but no, nothing's wrong, or everything's a piece of cake.
I really wish he would have been like, oh, my job's not too difficult, except one time I got trapped in like the demon hell blood forest and you had to come save me. That was pretty bad.
No, that would be slight humor, and he does not possess that.
Then Mio asks if he's ever had romantic feelings before, and Kyoka says that throughout his life he never really had any romantic feelings, but that's probably because he was intentionally putting them out of his mind. He asks if it's off-putting that he's like not very romantic, and Mio says no, and then they turn to look at each other, and Kyoka affirms his feelings for her. Then he leans in to try to kiss her, but she turns away, apologizing, and she's like, it's too much. We're in a bed together. You're gonna kiss me. That will be my third kiss ever. Kind of heavy, and he's like, it's cool, and then they go to sleep as we cut to credits.
Yeah, well, I like that. I mean, she's scandalized by herself for thinking about the kiss so much, so I like she put a boundary. He's fine, he's not totally dejected by it, but
I wonder what Mio's mental block is. Is it that she won't kiss her fiance?
Okay, how about, here's my question. When's the wedding? They never talk about the wedding.
That's true.
When is that happening?
It's true. I don't
know. Like the 5-year engagement or something.
It's a long engagement, it feels like. I mean, I guess they're constantly under threat.
Well, they've only been together a few months.
This is probably the worst possible time to have a wedding, to be honest. So I get it. I do like the implication that like the... this season's gonna be solved by Mio and Kyoka making out so she could get over her mental block. That's pretty good. You think that's how the season's gonna end, with a sloppy makeout?
No.
Imagine if it did, though.
No.
Come on.
Maybe they'll actually say they say love to each other.
They make out and Mio goes like Super Saiyan 2. And her hair turns like gold and she glows. That would be good.
I would like to see, like, we're getting more of her, at least have, it's sad that I'm like, look, we're getting more of Mio. It's just Mio actually talking to people, but like, that's a big improvement. But still, it's like, she is still a bit like a, you know, passenger in her own story at this point. So I'm like, would really like more like gusto, or like, I don't know. Is like the whole story always going to be her being unsure about something, or are we gonna get like Mio knows what's up, Mio
Yeah, it's a little weird.
She can be confident on other people's behalf, but never on her own behalf, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little weird because, like, you know, season one was so clearly like what her character development was. Right. So far, I'm not totally sure what her like character development is in season two. I mean, you know, the beginning stuff about her like dealing with Kyoko's mom, that was pretty evident. The Kariko stuff, I feel like was pretty good because it's about like how you're going to respond to having a friend, how you're going to treat that kind of stuff. Now we're at the palace and she has a mental block, but we're being really cagey about what that is. I'm assuming it's that she wants to kiss Kyoko, but feels awkward about it because she has no sexual experience with anything.
I don't know.
But that's the only thing that it could be at this point. You know what I mean? I don't think that's what it is either. That feels a little too risque for this show. But I want that to be it.
Yeah. It's a strange show. It doesn't like it's called My Happy Marriage. And like there's some romance, but it doesn't feel like it's about the romance at all. But like, that's the part that I want more of, and we're just not getting very much of it. So it's like interesting.
That's why these episodes were good, though, right? Because it was a lot more of that stuff.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's like, give us more of that. That's the good stuff. That's what people would think they're getting from this show or would want from the show. We're not getting everything.
I mean, these episodes are good. We don't have... Well, we have, what, 5 episodes left? Which is a good amount of stuff. We need to see that kid.
Yeah, I am now like, he was only there for that one.
That would be...
He's just there to spill on her.
So funny.
Have they mentioned him in any of the actual episodes, have they?
No.
Truly only in that single episode.
He was in the opening, right?
Maybe that whole episode was a dream.
Oh my God. It's all now she's dream being like, oh, you thought she had a kid. Oh, you thought you talked to Takahito before. I made that happen. I don't know, for fun.
Well,
I'm just a silly little guy.
Like a cute episode of her like interacting with a kid and then like, oh, why will me and Kyoka's kid be? Well, me thinking about us having a kid, me, whatever, something.
Yeah.
To lean into the marriage. My happy marriage. Let's touch. I can't. What happens when you're married, or at least in this time, you have a kid. Thinking about like having a kid or like learning.
Go on vacation.
Like what a normal childhood looks like or something.
You meet their
or,
in-laws. Like, they did that.
Yeah.
What else do you do when you're married? You have to change your last name. You get a joint bank account.
I don't know. I do like these episodes.
You think that's what the show should be about? Them just doing a bunch of paperwork? They probably didn't even have to do it back then.
I don't know.
If Kyoka dies, who does the stuff go to? His parents?
Probably. His mom's got that on lockdown.
That's true. Yeah. You think she's going to have to sign a prenup? You think he's going to be like, look, I said no, my mom said yes, and then Mio's like, I'll sign it, it's fine.
Whatever.
New milestone goal for Mio is to get drunk. Last season she did fire a beam, so that gets a check mark. So either tell a joke or get
for
drunk,
real.
Preferably
I don't
doing
like
both.
This. Stop keeping. Let her choose.
Yeah,
Kyoka, don't be controlling husband. Let her pick.
Let her take shots. It's at ladies' night. She can't. She's the only one who can't drink at ladies' night. That's crazy.
Yeah. How is she supposed to cut loose? She's had a tragic life. Let the girl drink the night away.
I want the OVA to be her getting drunk and then putting people into like a weird psychedelic dream state.
It's so not happening. It's super not happening, but
do like Alice in Wonderland or something.
I don't know. Season one is discovering she had power. Season two, understanding her powers. So hopefully we get more power stuff and her autonomy with it. Especially if we think something's gonna happen to Arata, like she's got to learn from him while she can.
Yeah, that's true. Although, like, he's just saying that she hasn't wakened her full powers, but he's not saying what they are. Like, what should she be able to do?
I'm like, you're asking him for advice. What does he know? He's never hung out with we haven't had one of these in a while.
That's true. They have a big library.
He's reading. We saw him reading. Yeah. So I'm like, what is he reading?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
I sure hope he isn't a traitor. Uh-oh.
No, they're trying to trick us into thinking that's going to happen.
What if it's Godo? What if Godo's the traitor? And he's like, I blew myself up on purpose.
I don't know. It has to be someone we've met before, right?
I mean, it probably, right?
That would Kaido. Be
ridiculous. What if it's the Emperor? The Emperor comes back and he's like, it's me. I'm evil again. How did he not blow up? I still just can't get over that.
I guess he just... Whatever. Mio
blows up the Emperor is such a big part of season one for me. It's so important that she blows up the Emperor. And the fact that they're taking that away from me is very hurtful.
Unscathed. Uh-huh.
God.
Yeah, less cool now. Yeah. Well, we'll see next time. Okay, so what? Two more...
Last time I got the math wrong because there's only seven episodes, so we're gonna do two more and then three more.
Okay, I'm bad at math too.
Or should we do three more next time and then two more because the last one we'll do our like rankings and stuff. I think
that makes sense. Yeah, because this will be the conclusion of the show as we know it or as exists currently. So I think three and then two.
Okay, next time three episodes. 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
And then 12, and then the OVA.
Which I will for realsies watch this time.
Yeah. Maybe they'll get married.
Maybe. But no, if there's a third season, I'm assuming not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Is the end game once they get married? Or is it they get married and then we get some married life?
Maybe it's like One Piece. You know how like One Piece is all about finding the One Piece, but like they haven't done that. So the One Piece actually isn't in One Piece. Maybe that's what it is for my happy marriage. Like it's just talking about the happy marriage, but it's not going to happen until the end. And then we end.
It seems scandalous to just like in that time to like share a bed with an unwed lady. Like, yeah. Even if you're her fiance, doesn't that seem scandalous?
Well, they think it's scandalous. Everybody else is like, hell yeah, dude. Get your girl, man.
Literally everyone else. Parents, the emperor, basically.
They're like, that's dumb. Go make out with your girlfriend.
All the authority figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Let us know what you think about any of the stuff we just said. By rating us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. Or you can make a comment on YouTube because we get those and we read those.
We do. Yes. Much appreciated to the person sharing some more insight into what doesn't make sense here.
Yeah.
It's not the source material. It's the adaptation maybe leaving something to be desired.
Yep. We are just consuming the TV show. So we only know what's going on here. We will tell you if there's other stuff we know about. But as with most things, we read stuff later sometimes if we like it.
Yes. Well, we appreciate you understanding and not just hating us for not having consumed.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, we're not fake fans. We're just going in a weird order.
Yes. So YouTube comments, Instagram messages, the works.
Yeah.
Spotify comment, Apple review.
Tell your friends.
Anything. Yeah.
Post about us on the websites where you post things. Yeah.
Yeah.
How fun.
Sweet. How fun.
How.
Have fun or how fun?
How Which fun. Which one did you
say? How fun is that?
Is that? If we're having a good time.
Yeah. Well, and not only do we have a good time, we have an educational time, because what did we learn?
That's right. This is a learning opportunity for all of us. We're not just mindlessly consuming entertainment, or we would watch it more than two episodes a week and not talk about it for an hour. No, we learned things. What did we learn this time?
No means no. And some people can respect it and we love it. No, that's not a lesson. I just
Where did that come? It. Did that happen in these episodes?
He went in for a kiss and she shot him down.
Yeah. Assert your boundaries.
Handle rejection with grace. Yeah. Yes.
It's okay. You can always have boundaries. You know, it's not like, oh, well, this person like is close to me and I've kissed them before. I guess I have to kiss them now. Like, no, you don't.
Yes.
Like, I'm not feeling
Perfect.
it. Yeah. Maybe you want to go to ladies' night and just be like, yeah, You can call me Miss.
Don't let a dude tell you if you can or can't drink.
Yeah.
Drink if you want.
Grab that. Grab that sake. What are they going to do? Huh?
Don't let the limitations of a world with no FaceTime stop you from long distance calling your girlfriend into girls' night.
Yeah, don't let...
Just use magic.
Don't let temporality stop you. If somebody is spying on a memory of you in the future, just look directly at them. Just start looking at places where you think a time traveler is looking to freak them out. It's such a power move. Imagine. Maybe we've both done that in our lives. Where like somebody traveled back in time and you just looked at them.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh shit.
I do doze off sometimes.
Yeah. You should always be doing. Always be considering if a time traveler is observing you right now. Good way to live your life.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's all this time, folks. Thanks for listening and catch you next time for the next three episodes and our penultimate coverage.
Yeah.
Of My Happy Marriage that is out at this time.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.